The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy, managing partner of the Oakmont Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, managing partner of the Oakmont Group. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Well, starting off the year with world-famous Jeff Gallimore. Got him in the studio here. He is a partner at Accella Consulting. And the reason I wanted to get Jeff in here is because, you know, for the last 11 years, I've had all kinds of guests in there and try this and knew this and try this and something there. But Jeff has actually been in the trenches and gotten bloody and dirty and had to elbow his way out. And he's very successful in very tricky projects here. And many of the projects involve some of the initiatives that we see coming up. And one of these big initiatives we see coming up for 2018 is little, you know, the stepchild of a guy named Will Hurd up on Capitol Hill. He has this thing called the MGT Act, and maybe we'll talk about the MGT Act and change management, and what can my listeners do, federal IT professionals, what can they do in 2018 that'll actually help them be more agile, help them adapt to new cultures and new ways of procurement, new ways of handling cloud issues, and it's so many different issues coming up here. I thought we'd start off with an old guy in new clothes, or a new guy in old clothes, or someone who's experienced but has his pulse on really the current issues going on in the federal government. So, Jeff, tell us about your background, please, and we'll jump in with some questions.
Hey, John, it's great to be here. So I started out in IT. I've been in IT my entire career. I started out as a developer and a DBA, and then had an amazing opportunity to work on a contract at Office of Management and Budget about 15 years ago, the Office of E-Government and IT, and I discovered what it really took to get technology done and implemented the right way at scale, and I've never looked back. I've stopped being a developer and a DBA, although I live vicariously through them now. Now I'm in management, and I spend most of my time in email and spreadsheets and Word documents and things like that.
So many years, and if you look at your company, EXCELLA, that's EXCELLA.com, I mean, this is a hockey stick here. I mean, yeah. Number of employees goes whoop.
Yep.
So something's going on here. You've got the magic sauce, or you understand the govies, you understand the federal government, but your company's growing and growing and growing. I saw a tweet, and there's this whole new expansion of, I mean, the whole floor in Roslyn or something. What's going on with you guys?
Yeah, it's been a great experience over the last now 16 years. We founded at the beginning of 2002, which was a wonderful time to start a company. If you remember the .com crash and the telecom crash, and
boy, hey, you're a fool.
Let's go out and start an IT consulting company. Sounds great. But we've been doing great. We've grown every year in headcount and revenue. We've been named Washington Post best places to work for the last 4 years. The thing I think the special sauce about us is that we really challenge the status quo. We love learning. We love trying new things, doing new things. And in a lot of cases, our clients do too. And they really benefit from those results.
I didn't want to use the word disruptive because it's too constant. But I think what you've exhibited in the last 15 years, I mean, I know people who work for you. People talk about you, believe it or not, Jeff.
Yeah, I know.
I'm at a coffee shop, and I'm saying, hey, what do you think of this guy, Jeff? Oh, wow.
You said world famous earlier. Yeah. I would say world infamous, maybe.
No, and you're well known, and people trust you, and they like you, and they think that you're doing a good job. In fact, I've recommended my students to apply to work for you, and boy, if I send them over to someone like you and things don't work out, then I look bad. Yeah. So we know you got a good reputation in town, and we want to find out what the magic sauce is. So let me I'll toss out something that I went up on Capitol Hill with my little digital recorder, sat down with Will Hurd. He talked about the MGT Act. Well, tell me about this act. What do you think about this act, and where do you think it's going to play out here in 2018?
Yeah, I think the MGT Act, Modernizing Government Technology Act, I think it's a really big deal. And it's a really big deal for I believe, three reasons. First of all, it puts a big spotlight on one of the issues in the federal government when it comes to modernizing technology and older technology, and that's the security of those systems and of the infrastructure and of the technology. That is an increasing threat, and it's an increasing issue, and getting a spotlight on that is going to be really helpful in addressing it. I think the second thing that the MGT Act does is addresses one of the another one of the chronic problems or barriers to modernizing technology and federal IT, and that's funding. We hear about that all the time. If only we had more funding, we'd be able to do more. Well, this starts to address that with some of the new funding mechanisms and working capital funds and things like that. And then also the modernization fund that they've started to be able to fund modernization projects within the agency. So that starts to address that too. But I think the biggest thing that I'm encouraged by with the Modernizing Government Technology Act is the fact that it aligned a lot of interests on it. So Congress is aligned on it. The executive branch is aligned on it. Both parties are aligned on it. And the level of alignment that this act has had on this issue, I haven't seen in a long time really on anything, let alone in federal IT. So the fact that everybody's interests are aligned on this thing, I think is really encouraging.
And if you look at the MGT Act and you just look at the history of it, what you find out, it's just not, you know, one side of the aisle, the other side of the aisle, both people, I mean, green unites them both. I mean, money unites them both. And so you get someone like Will Hurd, he actually reaches out to Democrats and works with them, and he comes up with a compromise, and he goes back to the Senate and compromises and pits and moves, and he comes up with something that I think is really great, because, you know, many times the hurdle is not the technology or the humans. Sometimes the hurdle is acquisition. It addresses it squarely.
Right. And the other, you hit the nail on the head here. It is a bipartisan issue. Federal IT. IT is in everything that we do. IT is necessary to fulfill the federal government's mission, regardless of what that mission is and regardless of what agency it is. Federal IT is critical to everything that the federal government is doing. And therefore, it's a bipartisan issue. And it's great to see that we're aligning on that and trying to get better.
One focus, obviously, is legacy systems and trying to do something about those, maybe moving them up to the cloud.
Yeah.
What's your experience dealing with moving away from legacy systems?
Yeah, it's I'm going to let you in on a little secret, John. Federal IT is hard work.
No secret here.
It's really hard. And I mean, you look at all of the challenges and barriers and problems that are associated with federal IT. You get aligned on priorities. You have to get funding to execute on those priorities. You have to go through acquisitions. You have to award a contract. You have to get some help on board. And then you actually have to do the thing that you wanted to do. You know, whatever that outcome is, it's really hard and it takes a really long time. And that's why, that's I think in large part why we're in the situation that we're in, with a lot of people complaining and struggling and being challenged by really old, outdated federal IT and infrastructure.
I got up early this morning, fired up Twitter, looked around, saw trending stories. Intel, they found a problem. The chip's been around for years and years, and it has to be patched. And apparently there's an inner circle of people at Microsoft who knew about this in November. And this whole concept of patching, a whole lot easier in a cloud environment than in the legacy system, isn't it?
It is. The cloud environment does give you much better capabilities in terms of keeping your systems and your technology up to date and secure. That's the more that I learn about threats and breaches and issues both in the private sector and in the public sector about technology and security breaches and things like that, the more it comes back to people just were not practicing good technology hygiene. They weren't keeping their systems up to date. They weren't keeping their systems protected, and the bad guys were executing on vulnerabilities that had been known and just had not been dealt with.
Let's take a break and come back. We'll talk a little bit about procurement and how it impacts information technology. And I've got to end this segment with a quote from none other than Will Hurd, and he once said that they never had a parade for a federal procurement official. So that's something about federal procurement can be a challenge here. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Our guest today is Jeff Gallimore, partner at Accela Consulting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Jeff Gallimore, partner at Excella Consulting. And the theme here is taking someone with real successful long-term experience in the federal government and look at the changes that have just come about recently, looking at 2018, and see how maybe some of these initiatives can impact my listeners. And we kind of closed out with the acquisition and had a little silly joke about acquisition. But many times what I've found is that maybe a company has a better mousetrap, and maybe an agency realizes that, and there's buy-in at the management level of the agency, and their hands are tied by maybe some regulatory requirements and maybe difficult ways to purchase. So what experiences have you had with frustration in purchasing, and how does this new act even address that?
Yeah, acquisition has been a long time a key challenge in getting the good services and outcomes that the federal government is seeking. There's been a lot of reform in that area over the last, even 10 years. And the Modernizing Government Technology Act also pushes that issue forward. So again, it's a continued journey in getting better at acquiring what the government needs to meet its mission. And there still needs to be some work done. It's just not keeping pace with the pace of technology in the outside world. Going back to that earlier discussion that we were having about the challenges in getting what the government needs done, if you look at the process, the amount of time it takes for a need to get prioritized, to get funding for that, to get through acquisition, and to get boots on the ground to actually start addressing that, you could be talking years, and that's just in this day and age. It's unacceptable, and the government will not be able to keep pace and with expectations and the needs of the country. If that's the case, we just have to get faster at being able to do that.
And I wonder what's going to precipitate that. I mean, is it going to be an event? I don't want any events to happen. Is it going to be an event? Is it going to be something that happens on March 1st and people are going to say, well, now we have to, something's going to have to change. We're going to have to be more loose and fluid and adaptable to this environment. We can't, be limited by these regulations. We have to, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, somehow Representative Hurd has the magic sauce to make this change. I mean, what about changing in just the way the agile approach to this whole topic?
Yeah, I think you hit on a key issue here. The problem is not... it's not the regulations, it's not the policies, it's not the legislation that needs to be quote unquote complied with. The problem is in the interpretation and the implementation of those policies, regulations, and rules that people have interpreted certain things based on traditional, conventional, common knowledge. And in many cases, that traditional, conventional, common knowledge turns out to not be correct. It is not actually the best way to do things. And so what I've seen be really successful is when you look at a policy or rule or a compliance requirement is to try to reverse engineer that back to the intent. What is it that we're actually trying to do with that rule? And then once you understand that and you can get agreement and alignment on what the intent is, then you can forward engineer that maybe into a different implementation that works better and delivers better results.
So, to my understanding, there'll be some capital funds that will be established for agencies. And I don't know the exact sequence of this, but I know OMB is involved and GSA is involved. Do you have a good handle on how this is actually going to take place, or are we just in a transition now? How's it supposed to work here?
Yeah, I think we are in the transition period, and there are a lot of people trying to figure out what that's going to look like. If it looks like what some of the other some similar acts have looked like. Now OMB and GSA probably are working through what the actual detailed guidance is for how all of this is going to play itself out. And they're talking to a lot of people, both inside those two organizations and outside to give some more clarity to the rest of the federal government on how that's actually going to work. Now the issue, the thing that actually concerns me about all of this is that I'm concerned that we may just end up in the same spot again 10 or 15 years from now, that we may not actually move the needle on changing the way that federal government does IT. Because we've been talking about modernization of federal IT and doing federal IT different and better for years now, even going back all the way maybe to the Clinger-Cohen Act in 1996. So we've been at this conversation for 20 years. What's going to actually make us different and put the federal government in a better place tomorrow than it is today? And I think that's actually going to take some mindset shifts within the federal government so that we just don't end up spending a bunch of money and end up with the same problem 10 years from now.
And that's why you think it's a major initiative. It's a flexing point. Huh? And that's really what it is, because finally an agency can say, we're going to put some money away for this bigger project that we can do next year. And you have 3 years to do it. Is that the limitation?
There is a time limit on the use of those funds. That's correct.
You know, I love quotes from the federal government, and I have a quote here I'm going to read to you, and you can react to it. This is from a guy named Patrick Shanahan, Deputy Secretary of Defense. So he's a big dog over in the Pentagon. He says that a culture of experimentation, adaptation, and risk-taking is what he wants to foster. This is an Army guy saying this? No way. How about no risk? How about no experiment? How about tried and true?
So back to that, I love the quote, and I think that he has it spot on in terms of what the new attitude and the new culture inside of the federal government needs to be in order to get the kinds of results that we can expect. This is what organizations outside of the federal government have shown as the right culture, the right attitude, and the right approach to using technology that delivers exceptional, remarkable results. And when you start to see those organizations, you start unpacking how they did what they did and how they got there, that's exactly the kind of attitude and the culture that they have within those organizations.
I listened to a podcast on the history of Rome. And yesterday, the podcast talked about when the Roman soldiers first encountered war elephants. Mm-hmm. They got beat real bad the first time they encountered war. They got real bad. Then they came back, and the second time, it was neutral. And the third time, they won.
Right.
And so I'm looking at this military guy going, well, let's go back to ancient Rome. He's a military guy. You come up against an opponent, this doesn't work. You don't cry in your beer. You change and you flex and try something else until you win. And I see that's what I see. I see the war mentality is not this is the way you've always done it. The war mentality is how can we win? And he's going to do anything to win.
Right. And it's the concept of agility. We've been at this agile thing for now 15 or 16 years, and what we see out in out with our clients and in the market in general is there's a big difference between doing agile and being agile. The difference between doing agile and being agile is this: in doing agile, you're following the ceremonies, you're executing the process, you're doing the steps, you're having stand-ups. Hey, that's great. We're agile now. Well, you're not. You may have improved over, say, a waterfall method, but you're not getting the same kinds of results that these other organizations who are being agile. And the being agile part is about a change in your culture and your mindset and your attitude towards certain things like change and risk and uncertainty, that you have a fundamentally different view of those things and how you manage those things. For example, the experimentation part. Experimentation is actually a way to address risk. It is a risk mitigation tactic, because what experimentation does is it helps you uncover what you don't know as quickly as possible.
And that's a good thing.
And that is a good thing. And that's why the experimentation is about learning. And the more that an organization can learn and apply that learning, the better off they're going to be.
And your company has had experiences in the past where you've been working with agencies and you've tried new approaches and they've been well received. I mean, you know, there's a guy named Garcia over in the DOD who's active in the DevOps community, mm-hmm. and he gets it.
Yeah,
it's not a checkbox for this guy. He gets it. And people in the commercial world listen to what he does because he's just a smart guy over there.
Right.
He's figured it out.
Right.
And so it's a skill set. It's almost like going to the gym and doing the routine, not getting any progress, but then putting your heart into it, and then you get the progress.
Right.
You don't get the progress until you put your heart into it. And maybe this is a transition from checkbox item to getting skin in the game.
Right, right. It's all about, again, it's all about changing your principles, your values, your mindset, and how you view the world.
Let's take a little break and come back. I want to get more specific here. We'll talk about specifically give me some examples of using agile techniques for improving lives of my listeners, and then maybe talk a little about how you keep up with technology.
You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Jeff Gallimore, partner at Exela Consulting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Jeff Gallimore, partner at Exela Consulting. And the name of the company is EXCELLA.com. I'm on Twitter all the time. His handle is at EXCELLACO, Exela Co. And been around a while, had a lot of experiences in the federal government, got frustrated, maybe adapted and changed, and work with some agencies to help them apply a more agile, flexible way to develop software. Well, give me a for instance there, Jeff. Don't have to name an agency. So, oh, a particular agency, we did this, and we encountered this, and this is how we used more agile systems, and this is what the result was. Maybe it was a disaster.
Yeah.
Well, it's not.
we don't have any disasters. We don't talk about disasters too much.
We're talking about those.
Yeah. One of the organizations, the agencies that we work with is the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. We've been working with them for 3 years. We're actually partnered with a pretty unique organization within the federal government called NTIS to be able to help them. And USCIS is doing some pretty remarkable things. We've been involved in a number of programs there, but just to show you some of the give you some of the examples and the proof points there. For one project that we were involved with, from the time that boots hit the ground at the start of the project to the time that we had our first production release was less than 4 months. That's pretty unheard of in the federal government, actually in many organizations.
I mean, you got a meeting or you had the, it's all done?
No, literally.
Usually 4 months is for the first meeting.
The first release running in production was less than 4 months. In some of our other work now, we've for those that have heard this term before, continuous delivery. We are deploying to production multiple times per day. That we can go from a developer committing code into the source code repository to having that change running in production confidently, securely, repeatedly in less than 60 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds like we're talking to someone in Silicon Valley, maybe in a big company in Chicago, where the CEO is a horror show and demanding quick actions. And it doesn't sound like the federal government. It sounds more like a startup or something.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. And that's the amazing thing about this is that we have come to realize that these practices that are being used by these really high performing companies, Silicon Valley companies, startups, things like that. Are just as applicable and just as beneficial and just as possible in the federal government as they are outside. It takes a little bit more work. It takes a little bit more domain knowledge. It takes a little bit more change management work to be able to do that, but it absolutely is possible. And that's the thing that I get so fired up about is that now that I've seen that it's possible and the benefits that it can have for the federal government, I'm talking to everybody that I can to make sure that they realize that too, that there's hope out there for folks that are just toiling away under all of the policies and all of the processes and all of the checklists, believing that there isn't a better way and secretly hoping that there is.
And I think the message is being accepted. There's a guy named Chris Bach, his company called 540, and he was there's a Friday. He was in the Pentagon with a bunch of people, and they were beating their heads against the wall saying, well, we got to solve this problem. Let's call Suicide Hotline. I don't know what we're going to do. It's the end of the world. What are you going to do? And he said, well, to try this, and we don't know. We have to. And so over the weekend, they got together and come up with some goofy ideas. Bad, bad, bad. Okay, bad, good, bad, bad, good, 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 good. And then Monday, they came back and they presented the code on Monday and said, hey, what do you think about this?
Right.
And they didn't believe it. They said,
right.
No, what about 3 months procurement and requirements and then 6 months? No. You don't have time. It's going to change too fast.
Exactly.
You can't wait. It's going to be more war elephants. You have to figure out how to beat them. And it's a message that's getting through. It's just, it's so hard.
Yeah, it is hard. The federal government is a big place and there's a lot of people and it takes a long time to get those messages out to the people that need to hear them. But something I am totally convinced of is that the future is here. It's just not evenly distributed.
Yeah, I think that's true because there are small, flexible teams in the Pentagon and there are all small, flexible
yes.
teams here and there. It's just you would drive by the building, you can't see them, but they're in there. It's just really hard to find.
That's right.
So how do you keep up with technology? Do you read books? Do you just meditate? Do you talk to people? Do you meet people on the metro? How do you keep up with all these changes?
All of the above, John. Walk down the street
and tell people you're confused. Help me.
Well, you know, sometimes that's the best way to get the help that you need is just admitting that you need it. I listen to podcasts, I read blogs, I read books, I talk to people, I go to conferences, I go to meetups, a lot of which we host in our own office in Arlington. It's mainly just trying to get into the community, participate in the community, immerse yourself in the community, and you just end up picking the stuff up. You pick up the vibes, you pick up the things that you need to know, or at a minimum, you at least pick up who knows what you need to know so that when you need to go ask them a question, you know who to go ask.
EXCELLA, they're just in Arlington, they're near a metro stop. I've been to events there, very informal and casual, and you sponsored a wide range of groups that you sponsor in there. And I think that's the one key to events. And that's one thing that I've earned is that, you know, Jeff Gallimore gives a presentation and I'm thinking to myself, well, he forgot this and that. And maybe. And then someone in the back room says, hey, Jeff, you forgot about this foreign language application. He said, oh. And all of a sudden it applied to me. So it's usually someone else in the back of the room who asked the question that I never thought about the foreign language application of this coding. Jeff screwed up. but that's the whole idea is exchanging information in an informal environment where there's no pressure. And all of a sudden it allows people to explore options that you might not have thought of.
It goes back to what I was mentioning before. It's all about the learning. The more that your organization values learning, can implement tactics to learn more and apply that learning and spread that learning out across the whole organization, the better you can be at that, the better off you're going to be. And research shows that, anecdotal studies show that. It's just a value that we have and that I believe a lot of organizations would be much better off if they elevated the importance of learning within their organizations.
Let's fast forward a bit here, and middle of spring training, Bryce Harper is hitting bombs down in Florida there, and people are trying to maybe do a deeper dive into this and maybe want to attend an event. Can they go to excella.com and see the events up there? Should they go to DevOps sites, or what should they type in to find where these events take place?
Yeah, so you can certainly go to our website, excella.com. We have all the events that we're hosting on our website. Simple web search will probably turn up a lot of stuff. And then there are a handful of meetups that we support on a regular and ongoing basis that are in our office as well.
That's interesting. I want to bounce back to modernization and the original topic with Will Hurd. And so we got a piece of paper. It's signed by the president. Here it's January. Everyone's optimistic. And hey, it's rainbows and unicorns and everything's wonderful. And hey, bang, it's something. I mean, mm-hmm. It's like the Redskins last football season. It hit something in the sixth week. I don't know what it hit, a brick wall. And so the question is, where do you see this happen? How do you see this playing out in 6-8 months?
In next 6 or 8 months, I think it's going to be a lot of discussions about how it's going to play out over the next 6 to 8 months. A lot of people trying to figure this out. We're going to hear a lot of questions from agencies about how exactly things are supposed to work. They'll be asking those questions of GSA and OMB just like they do for other pieces of legislation and policies and things like that. So it's going to take a little while for all of this to shake out and for people to have clarity about how these things are supposed to work. Now, the thing about it is, while the Modernizing Government Technology Act is certainly helpful, and I am so glad that it's in place and that we have a lot of attention and conversation about this, people aren't prevented from taking action now. You can take action in the sphere of control that you have, and you can start moving the needle right now, given the resources that you have already on board.
And that's where it fits into experimentation.
Exactly. What's the cost of changing your mindset? Yeah. There isn't one. There isn't certainly any dollar cost associated with that.
I guess there's if someone's listening to this now and they're working for agriculture and they have a particular gnarly project that can't seem to it's the whack-a-mole project. We solve one problem, another pops up. Solve one problem, another pops up. And maybe what they might want to do is attend one of these meetings. Maybe go to your website, read a white paper, and not necessarily call you guys for help, but just try to get a better understanding of options they have for solving these problems. Mm-hmm. And there's never been a better time that I've seen to experiment because you have a nice open road down the road with this new act.
Exactly. Yeah. Attended the meetups that we host. We've got a lot of content on our blog. If you go to excella.com and you look for insights, there's a lot of stuff that's in there that we hope is helpful. At least our web traffic says that it is helping a lot of people. So that would be another good place to look.
Let's take a break. Come back. Talk more about the MGT Act and my listeners. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Jeff Gallimore, partner at Excella Consulting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Jeff Gallimore, partner at Excella Consulting, talking about 2018 and changes in attitudes, changes in latitudes, I guess for old geezers like me, that's what we'd call it, and changes in way software is developed and the way software is acquired. And during the break, I casually mentioned about an agency that I know some people down at, and they wanted to be flexible. They wanted to go to the cloud, and they signed up for AWS, and they got their first bill, and it was sticker shock. And they said, whoa, and they started crying themselves to sleep,
yep,
dialing suicide hotline and the end of the world. So what if someone calls you up after the show and says, Jeff, you know, we're over here at Doi, and we started this thing, and they're just killing us, and we want to go back to the old way because it was more predictable. Is it more predictable?
I don't think it is, but back to that sticker shock issue. I had a similar experience a few years ago with one of our own teams. We were using the AWS cloud, and they told me what the monthly bills were, and I went, really? They're that high? And they were kind of very matter of fact about it. And I thought about that, and I was like, well, wait a minute. We're spending that much money on cloud infrastructure, but how much more productive is our team now? They don't have to wait for infrastructure to be provisioned to do work or to try new things.
Did they measure that in the past too?
They did. Yeah. Yeah. So see if this is a story that your listeners can relate to. From the time that you put in a hardware acquisition request to the time that piece of hardware, that infrastructure is racked and stacked and ready to go, how long would that be? Are we talking about weeks or maybe months for that infrastructure to be ready? Well, how much value would you get if you could, in 15 or 20 minutes, be able to stand up a new piece of infrastructure, be able to try something out? How valuable would that be in terms of the productivity of your team and your ability to deliver value to the people that you're intending to deliver value to?
I guess the new way of looking at this is to articulate opportunity cost.
Exactly.
To say, well, you know, maybe you should wait to buy the car and you could walk to work. Well, right. Wait a minute. I mean, there's different ways to looking at it, but it just face to face, what do you think of your new system? We got killed the first month. We want to go back to the way we've always done it. Well, let's review the way you always did it. Maybe this
right.
is the approach. Is that this is a hard conversation to have?
It is. It goes back to how people view technology and view teams and what that common, conventional, typical wisdom has been, and how unconventional and atypical and even counterintuitive some of the new practices really are. It does take a lot of grappling with being able to rewire your brain to be able to think a little bit differently about these sorts of issues.
It was like the first time I bought a house years ago, I had to convince myself that paying a higher mortgage was cheaper than renting because I would get taxes back at the end of the year. I had a hard time to wrap my brain around it,
but
I did, and worked out well.
Yeah, one of the just as an example, one of my favorite counterintuitives in this new world of Agile and DevOps and IT is this one is a quote from the former chief architect at Netflix. Netflix is one of these companies that's being held out as they just do IT right. They get remarkably better results than their peers. Adrian Cockcroft, who's the chief architect, said this: if something is painful, do it more frequently so it becomes less painful. And your head explodes when you hear that. But when you unpack that and you understand what he's actually talking about, he's absolutely right. We've had problems with deployments and releases. They've always been painful. You know, open up the bridge and work the weekend and hopefully the thing goes in, and maybe it doesn't. So you have to back everything out and it's total chaos for a while. Well, the typical response to that is, we'll just delay the release and we'll pack more into the release because we don't want to do it as often. Well, that's absolutely the wrong approach. The answer is, the best answer, and this has been shown in the research and the evidence and the performance studies, is do it more frequently. Change the batch sizes, make them smaller, release into production more frequently, and you will have fewer problems. And that's where continuous delivery, and that's the experience that we've seen on some of our projects.
You've been around a Pike a few times, and you've seen this term. The term is called FITARA, and I think it's going to undergo a transition here in 2018. Do you think FITARA has been helpful or hurtful for my listeners?
It's one of those conversations that about acquisition and improving acquisition and improving IT and being more agile, and anything that spotlights or puts a spotlight on those issues, agility, acquisition, IT, it's always good.
You've seen a lot of companies in this area in the last few years come and go. If you look around right now, you see a lot of cybersecurity startups.
I mean,
there's tons. I mean, I can't even count them.
Right.
Thousands. Why and what do you predict? Is it good idea, bad idea?
It's not surprising, given the how much security has come into the common collective consciousness. You hear about a new breach all the time. Equifax and before that there have been some in the federal government, and they're becoming more frequent, they're becoming more significant, and so what I've also heard is that the money is also starting to move in that direction. It becomes an issue that people really want to address, and it's backed up by funding, and so this is a typical market response to that, and that we're seeing startups, and I think it's really good. Because what that indicates is that there's a lot of innovation happening in that space. And when there's a lot of innovation, there are a lot of problems that can get solved in really good and interesting ways.
When I talked to Representative Will Hurd, he used this little combination of words I thought was kind of interesting. It's called digital hygiene. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple, digital hygiene. I guess it implies patching. I mean, is this a concept? Do you like this phrase? Is this a concept you think might apply for my listeners?
Oh, it's absolutely. It's fantastic. It's a great phrase. It's a great concept, and it's also very needed. Earlier in our conversation, I was talking about some of these security threats and vulnerabilities and breaches that have happened because organizations weren't practicing that digital hygiene. They had old, outdated systems, technology, infrastructure with vulnerabilities that were known, and the bad guys were able to exploit those and do bad things with it. And if these organizations had been able to detect those vulnerabilities better and earlier and had the capability and capacity to be able to address those vulnerabilities more quickly, then maybe those breaches wouldn't have happened.
And I think with the MGT Act, what the objective here is just letting my listeners get a handle on what's going on, see how many data centers they have, take a look at their licensing, take a look at what they failed in the past, where they want to go, and maybe allowing or budgeting different things. You know, I have a family, and we budget things for 2 or 3 years out, and mm-hmm. maybe we'd like to do this. There's always surprises, but usually there's a slush fund in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think people have slush funds where unexpected things happen. The transmission drops out. The 3 days before Christmas, the hot water heater fails. And so you need a slush fund. So I think that I don't want to sound very casual about this, but I think that's what this act gives my listeners, a slush fund in case something or they need something or something planned down the road.
Yeah, it's access to resources. When an unfunded priority or an issue pops up, that you have some sort of backstop to be able to go and get some help with that. I think another approach, though, is to look at the resources that you already have in a project or a program and being able to allocate those a little bit differently. I go back to what we were talking about and the concern that I had with the MGT Act and the concern that we may be in 10 years in the same spot that we are now, just with a new generation of technology that needs to be modernized again, and we're back having the same conversation. Instead, start to think about baking those sorts of activities into your operations and that you're modernizing all the time. Don't think of it as a project that starts and stops. Think about it as an activity. You're constantly refreshing your technology, your approach, your ways of doing things, and you don't get into that situation.
The NFL has a 2-minute drill. Jeff, I'm going to give you a 1-minute drill. Give me 1 minute on the future. What do you think is going to happen in 5 years? Are you optimistic, pessimistic? You go buy an island somewhere, hide in the mountains? You think it's going to all things work out? Or what do you think is going to happen next 5 years?
I'm always optimistic. At least that's the approach that I choose to take. I think we're going to be better off than we are today. We're not going to be done. We're never done. This is about a journey. And I think that the things that we're talking about today in pockets, I think a lot more people in a lot more pockets are going to be talking about them and doing them. That will be refreshing. I think you were talking about pilot projects and small project teams and certain agencies. I think that those are going to become more widespread, that these practices, these concepts are going to become more part of the collective consciousness. And that's going to be encouraging, and we're going to all be better off.
Pilot projects, something new, doing something different. Comes back to the guy in the Pentagon talking about a culture of experimentation, adaptation, and risk-taking.
I want to go talk to that guy.
Yeah, that's a good guy. Shanahan, not a bad guy. We have to end our conversation here, Jeff. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Jeff Gallimore, partner at Accella Consulting.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, managing partner at the Oakmont Group. Download this show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Search Federal Tech Talk.